Congregation, this morning we have heard about Samuel. He was at the beginning of the royal line. It started with David, it didn't start with Saul, the first king. Young people know that, even the children. Saul was the first king. He was a man after the mind of man, the choice of the people, and high stature. That's what we by nature looking for. But David was a man after God's heart. David was not an impious person. David was a sinner. We know his life, and we don't go in details this evening, but David was a sinner. But it was a man after God's heart. So he carried out his plan of redemption. We dealt with that this morning, unto the coming of Christ. All the generations, the royal line, from the royal line, Joseph and Mary came from that lineage of David, the son of Isai. How do you say that? But anyway. So, and Christ came. What do we learn, you know? That the people of Israel always went in a downward spiral. Covenant people. Lawbreakers. Not faithful. But God was faithful. He kept his promise, and always he will do that. He promised his seed, and the prophets, they renewed the promises, made it alive among the people and God's people in the Old Testament. He believed it and were comforted by it until Christ. A few revivals of reformations, and Samuel was about 1,000 years before Christ. And we remember the Reformation under King Josiah was about 600 years before Christ. This Samuel, Josiah, 400 years. And the last 400 years before the coming of Christ, it was a dark time again. Like how it began with Samuel. So that's that lower kingdom. We talked this morning about a higher level and a lower level. This is what happens here. But God is faithful. That's why we have a church. That's why the church will continue until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So in dark time. But the prophets, they keep the promise alive under the people of God. Zechariah and Elizabeth were two examples. There were more, but two examples. They believed, although it was a dark time, they believed the promises of God. So the promises is the fuel for faith. Faith will not have any effect if there is no promise. That belongs together. Faith and promise belongs together. Faith and law doesn't fit. Because the Apostle Paul says, what is faith? Quit working. Stop working. That's faith. It must be experienced, of course, but that is faith. That faith and promises belongs together. Again, the promises is the fuel for faith. It keeps faith going. So, Christ came in the fullness of time. God kept his promise. He did what he said. He will always do that. And now we turn to the New Testament. God is redeeming his people, his elect, known from eternity, is in his mind, you know. And now we see the work of Christ. He was the promised Messiah, that's the Old Testament name of Christ, and Christ is the name of the Greek name of the Son of God. And he came, he taught his disciples to go into the world. So tonight we will deal with evangelism. Christ was the greatest evangelist. And he sent out his apostles, first disciples, that means they were students, and after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Christ sent them into the world to redeem those who are known by God. So, and we will see this evening how that goes, how Christ prepares his disciples for this great task. They are called apostles, the sent ones, the sent ones. Called apostles. They had more authority than ever after they, when they died, you know, the elders and deacons and evangelists, what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, I think, or 6, you know, they have authority too. They have authority in the office, but not that much as the apostles, because they were able to perform miracles. Like Peter, he knew what was going on in the heart of Sapphira and Ananias. We never are. We cannot judge. But he judged. So it was a time of transition. And until, from that time on, until the end, there will be no difference. Elders and deacons and ministers, pastors, evangelists, they will do the work together what belongs to Christ. So we have 3 points of consideration: an unexpected appearance, an unexpected appearance. Secondly, a kind question. And thirdly, a blessed fruit. But let us first sing. Psalter 2:12, the second tune, all the three stanzas. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of 2:12, second tune. Congregation, we will see how the Lord Jesus instructs his apostle for the future task. What do they have to do? Just preaching. Just preaching. Just preaching the gospel. Just bringing a good message for undone sinners. The good news for a world, for a dark world. Good news for dark hearts by nature. The gospel, the good message. The gospel stands in opposite to the law. This morning I said, when the gospel is preached, you will feel some enmity, but by the Holy Spirit, the gospel will overpower souls. That's the power of the gospel. Not the power of the apostles. The apostle Paul, we know of him that he was not a fluent speaker. But it was not because if it was a fluent speaker, yes or no, it was his work was blessed by the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the word, especially the power of the gospel. The gospel is for sinners. The gospel is for people like you and me. And congregation, we never will come higher than a sinner. Maybe you think, yeah, but the people of God, you know, they know people of God are sinners too. What is the difference? You have sinners, unconverted sinners and converted sinners, but both sinners. So when the gospel comes, when you are set free by the gospel, cut off from the law, cut off from your own righteousness, then you belong to Christ. And who rules you? Christ rules you by his word, using his word and the Holy Spirit, guiding you, teaching you. That's why you hear every Sunday, you will hear the word of God preached. And now perhaps for you it is a duty because it is Sunday morning, Sunday evening, you go to church, it is a custom. But the people of God, they have a longing. They are waiting for what God will say to them, tell them, or teach them. So the word of God is teaching. Preaching is important, but when we go to Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew 28, the last verses, then the great commission for the apostles, teach them and instruct them. Teaching is a main part of preaching. Teaching. Not experiences, how you feel, keep that for yourself. But teaching, teaching. By nature we are ignorant. By nature we do not know the way to salvation. The Apostle Paul, he thought that he knows it, that he knew it, you know, when you read him, his conversion, Acts chapter 9. But God arrested him. So the word of God arrests you. Word of God, the gospel. The gospel, the content of the gospel is Christ Jesus. Why is Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the content of the gospel? We said already, law and gospel, he is the fulfilled law. That's why the gospel, the content of the gospel is Christ. And we know that from the disciples, that the Lord Jesus, when he was sent out, he taught them what the Lord Jesus said to them, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. It's remarkable, isn't it? So it's not their gospel. But they preached in the same way, the same doctrine as what the Lord Jesus has taught. No different message. There's always, even congregations, the Old Testament prophets, the Lord Jesus himself, and all the apostles, and even the people of God, the well-called servants of God, they preached just one message. Adam and Eve were saved because they believed in Christ. Abraham was saved because he believed in Christ, in the promise. David and all the God-fearing kings, David, Solomon, Josiah, and go on. They were saved because they believed the gospel. Faith in Christ. For the whole church, the Old Testament believer, also the New Testament believer, and also the believer today and in the future, they all are saved only by faith in Christ, believing the gospel. And that was their message. That was their message. So now the Lord Jesus, he appeared to them the third time, the first time in the day of resurrection, Easter, we call that Easter, and the second day, the second Sunday, the second Lord's Day, better to say the Lord's Day, because the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord. And the third time to his disciples was at the Sea of Galilee, of the Sea of Tiberias, same name, of the two names for the same sea. They were together, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and two other of his disciples. The four were fishermen, the two sons of Zebedee. James and John were fishermen, and Peter and Andrew were fishermen too. For the other two, we don't know, but that's not important. They have been with Jesus for about 3.5 years. They have seen his miracles. They have heard the truth. And now they had to wait. They had to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were called, we read that in Matthew chapter 4, they were called, the Lord Jesus called them. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. You are not a fisher of men. You need to be instructed. That for every office bearer, whatever it may be, a deacon, an elder, or a pastor, I make you fishers of men. If you think I can do it in my own strength, then you are not called. Then God does not know anything about you concerning ministry. Because you need to be taught by him. And it brings us to the point, my friends, you need to be converted in order to be an office bearer. This morning we spoke about discernment. Eli was poor in discernment, discerning spiritual things, you know. So you can't be a servant of God when you haven't been with Jesus. That's what we read in the book of Acts. When that lame man on the gate, then Peter and John, they were called before the Sanhedrin, and then they recognized they had been with Jesus. So the apostles were not sent out before they had been with Jesus in a couple of years. That says something. So, and then they were called, they have been with Jesus, they were just fishermen, workmen. Early up in the morning for fishing together with their father. And then Jesus called them, come. Come, call them right away, and he immediately followed him. So, when you are called by God for an office, but also spiritual, there will be an instant obedience. Why? Because of the power of the word. He speaks with authority, and therefore he said, follow me. They did not say, maybe tomorrow or next week, let us first finish the work of we are busy with. You know, we can't leave my dad alone to. No, they left it behind. He left behind what they did, and they followed him. What kind of people were those? Ignorant people. The Lord Jesus showed his compassion. When the Lord Jesus was speaking about his coming sufferings, that Peter said, no, that will not happen. They had love, but not understanding. There is a difference between love of understanding. Love goes first. Love is the first one and it will be the last one. Love goes into eternity. Because what we believe, that will be seen. But love will remain the same. So the first thing what a true child of God receives is love. The love of God is poured out in your soul by the Holy Spirit. That's love. And love will never leave you. Even when Peter says, that will not happen. It was just an act of love, but he was ignorant. He lacked knowledge. But the Lord Jesus never, and even when they were on the Sea of Galilee, another occasion for fishing, and there was a storm, and the Lord Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and they accused him almost. He said, of he blamed him, that is a good word, I think. He said, does thou not care for us? And he said, thou weak of faith, where is your faith? But never the Lord Jesus never accused them or said hard words to them. Compassion. He knew what he chooses. He knew that. Weak in themselves. So, and now the Lord Jesus had said, told them before he suffered, we will meet again in the Sea of Galilee. There is a place where I called you. So Peter and the six other disciples, they said, we go, we wait, we have to wait upon the Holy Spirit. And we see again waiting for God. Now in this case, for the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has said to us, like Eli has said to Samuel, wait and the Lord will return, the Lord will come back. And the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, has said to his disciples, wait. Yeah, their faith is proved again. And Peter says, I go fishing. And Peter always was the speak person of the disciples. By the way, we see he was accepted. And Peter denied the Lord Jesus, but he was accepted. There's also grace from the other disciples. They accept Jesus. He did not say, you can't go along with us anymore. No, there's love. See, love covers. Love is honest, but also love covers. So he was accepted. Why was he accepted? His fellow disciples knew grace. He was accepted. He repented. He had sorrow for Saint Peter. He was accepted by the Lord Jesus. And when you have self-knowledge, then you can accept a fellow sinner. Like when the Lord Jesus was saying that one of you will betray me. That he said, is it I? Self-knowledge. And that's the reason when there is self-knowledge, you can accept your fellow sinner. We are the same. We are on the same heap. All we are sinners. Grace makes the difference. But we remain a sinner. Then you are low. Then you don't put yourself above the others. So, we see here also, congregation, that God is in control. Why did Peter say, I go a fishing? Now, idleness is a temptation. That's first. Waiting and doing nothing is in danger. Young people, waiting to be idle, doing nothing, is a great temptation. We see this in the world around us. So they went for fishing. They do not know that the Lord Jesus was teaching them a lesson. He said already they were prepared. They know. They had the instruction from the Lord Jesus. And now they have to wait for the Holy Spirit to be enlightened. Just we read the text from John chapter 14, and that he will bring it in remembrance. The Lord Jesus, you know, he knew everything because he is God. But the disciples are men just like you and me. So the Holy Spirit brings it in remembrance what Jesus has taught them. By the way, in this way they were able to write the Bible. Therefore it is a work of the Holy Spirit. Bringing the truth of Jesus in remembrance. So they went to the Sea of Galilee. What was the lesson, congregation? The lesson was this. So they started fishing, because they know about fishing. That was their occupation, fishing. They were fishermen, experts. So they went fishing. And we read the story, the whole night they were fishing, and they caught nothing. What did the Lord Jesus teaching them? The sea before them was the world. With fish. They didn't know where the fishes were. Yeah, they were in the water. As we know that people live on earth. You know, mission work. The work of evangelism. We know the people are there. But we do not know where to go. So the disciples, they fished the whole night. They tried it over there and over there. Because they knew the Sea of Galilee very well. Because they were experienced. So let us try it over there, let us try it over there. Okay, that doesn't work, let us try it on another spot. So and so on, the whole night they were toiling and working and working and working. No fish. And then 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, you know, they saw the sun coming up, or 4 or 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. No, the time of fishing is almost gone. Let us try it again, and so on, and so on. We can imagine how that goes. But no fish, young people, children, no fish. The whole night, they worked the whole night very hard, and no, unsuccessful. No fish. Someone on the seashore, they didn't recognize him. Why not? First the word, we will come to it. First the word. But they did not recognize him. So they went back, and we can imagine how they felt, you know, their feelings. Maybe a little bit upset, and why not, and you know, as we know how that goes, I think. No fish, and someone is on the seashore. The whole night fishing, and not a single little fish they caught. And then a man on the seashore, not knowing him, and this time they did not know that it was the Lord Jesus. Did you have any fish for me? No. No. They went with expectation, but no fish. Not successful. Maybe they would have said no, because it was not dark enough, or whatever. No fish. Did you have any fish? No. A short answer. Cast the net on the other side. Try it again. No. What is that? What does that man say? We could expect that Peter of John would say, mind your own business, because he didn't know that that was the Lord Jesus. Mind your own business. We know how to fish. We were not lucky. So, keep your mouth shut. No. No. Cast the net on the other side. The other side, now fishing. They are close to the shore, because a fish, when it is light, you know, that the fish goes to the depth because of it is bright, it's light. At night, then you come more to the surface. That's why they fished at night. So they know they are experienced, and now cast the net on the other side. For them is the wrong side. See, that is how God works, the wrong side. And no, it cannot, because it's not the time. The time for fishing is gone. Cast on the other side, and you will, and you see, the word of God, you will find the promise. And now you know an important thing. faith between the command and the promise is faith. Never forget this. That's very important in our doctrine. I say it again. Between the command and the promise is faith. And here is the difference between a child of God, a believer, and an unbeliever. He hears the command and he hears the promise. But when there is no faith, it will not have any effect. They cast a net on the other side. For them it was the wrong side. So here, when God works in your soul, it goes against your thoughts. It goes against your imagination. It goes against your knowledge. Especially your knowledge, the last one. Because they know how to fish. They know how to catch fish. This, it goes against the feelings. It goes against everything of them. And they did. They obeyed. Faith always obeys. And they cast the net on the other side, for them on the wrong side, and they caught fish. Caught fish. And then the Apostle John, and then he said, it's the Lord, the brash disciple. He's called the brash disciple. He had a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus. He was more the man, maybe a little bit from the backside. The Apostle Peter was the man from the front, you know, but he was more a little bit more careful, you know, let us wait a moment, let us wait a moment. Let us see, so he was more careful. The Apostle Peter was, right away he was there. So and again, the Apostle John, he recognizes that it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Van the Apostle John on the day of the resurrection, when Peter and John went to the sepulchre, it was John who said, and he believed. But Peter had another character, you know. Peter was more, you know, right away he's there, he spoke sometimes, we would say, wait a minute, Peter, wait a minute, first think about it, you know, be not so quick. But that was his character. But it was the same Peter who was preaching the sermon on the day of Pentecost. The same person. And Peter had a heart for love to the Lord Jesus. It was just love. What we said about is that he said, Lord, it will not happen to you. You are not going to Jerusalem because the people will kill you. It was Peter. It was the love of Peter. Love. And Peter, he want to be with the Lord. That's just love. He want to be with the Lord. So he girded himself to be in the presence of God. You know, he took his best clothes. Many in our days, even office bearers are not dressed well, you know. I do not mean black and white, but a suit and a tie, at least. You know, I remember when I was ordained last summer and it's in our church, you know, that people who laying on of hands just wearing shorts. And I wrote a letter, you may know that I wrote a letter to the classes of Ontario to that minister who did the service, van I was ashamed. And he said, me too. He said, I will bring it up to the classes to discuss that. Because if the Queen of England would invite you to sup with her, you will be nicely dressed. And now the King of Kings is present and you are like this. The speaker, he girded himself. He took his best clothes. Because now he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus. See, that's what it is. That's what it is. The King of Kings. It was a kind question. Did you catch any fish? Why this question, congregation? To let him be ashamed of their own works. And that's a very important thing in our spiritual life. For the first time and again, to be ashamed of self. And may I ask you the question, did you have anything what God can use? Did you catch any fish? If the Lord Jesus asked you this evening, did you catch any fish? Is there something what I can use? Is there something what you can bring up, what you can bring forth? No. So they were ashamed. They were ashamed. They cannot bring anything. The Jesus, he brought them to the end. Always the same doctrine in our religion. Always come to the end. The disciples brought them to the end. They caught no fish. They were tired, worked the whole night. And then this is the time when the Lord Jesus starts working. Again, starts working. So when we are, another application, when we are so busy with working, then we lose sight on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I speak to people who are converted. When you go back to the law, working, then you lose your sight on the Lord Jesus. That's when you are set free by grace. That's what the Apostle Paul is teaching in the Galatians, because they turn back to the works of the law. And then you lose peace, then you lose the rest of your soul. God is well pleased when you rest upon the work of his Son, looking unto him by faith, always looking unto him. Be careful, because your own I and Satan, they try to move you away from faith and to start working again. And then you lose your faith and your comfort in your soul. Always, always. So when you are busy, when you try to do something, then you lose sight. Because the disciples were so busy with working. When you are busy with working, you are doing like this. You are working, but no, rest. And look to the one who has worked for you. That's why Christ came to this world, to work for you. I will do what you never will do, what you never can do. Stop working. Stop working. Again, always we have to hear that, and that's the gospel preaching, the power of the gospel. Stop working. Only believe. Yeah, but is that not too easy? No, it's most difficult. It's most difficult just to believe. But maybe you will say you are an evangelical. If it is not this, my friends, it's nothing. Just believing, believing, believing the one who has done it for you. You never can be saved because of the works of the law. That way is done a long time ago already, in paradise already. But now it is believing. What is your need? Your unbelief that you need. We have to unbelief is sin. It's your sin. You are condemned. You will be condemned forever if you die in your unbelief. What's your need? Congregation, your unbelief must be your greatest need. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Now your unbelief. Unbelief makes God to a liar. When the gospel is preached to you, even this evening, and maybe you are sitting in the church, how are you sitting in the church now? What are you doing now? Is there a prayer in your heart? Oh Lord, teach me. That's all you have to be under the preaching of the word. Labor. There's your laboring. That is coming to the throne of grace. There is Christ sitting at the right hand as the evidence that the gospel is true and the word of God is true. other praying people, praying young people, maybe children, young children. You need a new heart. And this very moment, ask the Lord, Lord, will thou work in my heart? So we do not preach, we are not preaching, I forgot the word, sorry. Free will. I'm not preaching free will. But I bring it close to you. That is the task of a pastor, to bring the word of God very close to you, to lay it in your heart, to bring it to you here, that you should listen and you should pray. When you are under the convicting of the Holy Spirit, when the gospel is preached, you know, something happens. What happens, pastor? What happens to you? Or you will be hardened or softened, one or the other. You are not sitting in church like neutral. No, even you will not leave this church this evening neutral. Something happens to you. Always happens something. There's always something happen to you. One or the other. That's why you are under the preaching of the word, you know. You must be very, very scared when you know that you have heard so many gospel preaching already in your midst and you are, until today, remain the same. The gospel will set you free, or it will even make you condemnation even more heavier. I'm not scaring you, because you may come. That's the disciples, I thought. And they preach the same doctrine as the Lord Jesus. You may come. They are standing before the Sea of Galilee in their own strength. They didn't catch any fish. The Lord Jesus is teaching them, without me you can do nothing. That's why you are fishing, not because you have to spend your time, to use your time well, that too. But not in the first place. I teach you by fishing. Without me you can do nothing. Therefore I send you. Throw the net on the other side. Throw the word of God in a church where, in a liberal church, it's not ours. Because for the disciples' congregation, it was not the right spot. We have to go to the deep. No, here. Yeah, better. Do we believe that our Lord can convert his people in liberal churches? If the word is preached faithfully. It starts here. This morning we said a revival or reformation starts with the word, starts from the pulpit. But the Lord sends his servants not according to their will. We like to have a good church, but there are no good churches, you know. There are no good churches. There are light churches, heavy churches, and all kind of churches. No, it doesn't matter. That's not the point, my friends. The point is where the Lord calls his people. He sends them, and you will catch fish. 153, a fixed number. All the elect, a fixed number. Great fishes. What does it mean? Usable. Only fish, I don't know exactly how it is, you know, but you can't use it. Fishes like this are not usable. You cannot use them. You cannot eat them. But fish like this, you can eat them. You can eat great fishes. Not great in themselves, but in the eyes of God, children of God, having no blame, having no sin anymore, and all washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, completely clean. Because clean people, forgiven people, go to heaven. Here he says sinners. Here in this side of the grave, it is saved sinners. Believing sinners are saved. But in heaven there are no sinners anymore. No. The people of God. Holy, holy people. So they tried and they... Yeah, they cut 100 and... caught 153 fishes. So the Lord did what he has promised. Cast and you will find. Let us first sing and then we will close. 261 verse 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he has wrought. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 261. Congregation, some concluding thoughts. First of all, there will be a great harvest. A great harvest. Some of the apostles, they only served for a short time. For a very short time. Like Stephanus, he served for a very short time. James went to, I think, to India, that area, he served for a short time. But their ministry has been fruitful. The Apostle Paul, he served for the longest time. He served even, he saw Polycarpus. Polycarpus, an old a church father. Polycarpus has been under the preaching of the Apostle John. He was the one on the island of Patmos. But however it will be, the work, if Christ sent you out, it will be fruitful. It will be a great harvest. And we have seen, my friends, that the word goes first, always. Even in a way of conviction, the word comes first. Some people say, a sinner, you know, some people say, but you know, we have to know we sin, and I'm not converted because my sin, I do not know my sin enough, not deep enough. That's the wrong way of thinking. That's a track of the devil. He likes that you think in this way. If you are really religious, and when you think in this way, for no, I never can be converted, or I'm such a sinner, or I know just a little bit of sin, so I have to know my sin, feel a lot deeper, more deeper. What does the devil do? He tries to defend you. He tries that you stay away from Christ. Yeah, but I am a sinner. What does the word say? We go back to the word of God. What does the word say? You are a sinner. Do you believe it? Yes or no? It was Luther who says, you know, about, he speaks about sin, knowing sin. He says, let the word come first. The word says that you are a sinner. The law condemns you. And then, when you believe the word, then take your hand and go into your bosom. And then you feel, you experience that what the word says about you, that it is true. That's the knowledge of sin. So in the knowledge, concerning the knowledge of sin, the word comes first. Because if you go by experience, then you try to lay in a measure, to measure it. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. And it is also the gospel by faith. It is first believing the word of God. Faith comes first. No, I forgot something. Knowledge, faith. Knowledge precedes faith. However, what should you believe? There's first knowledge. That's Reformed doctrine. First knowledge and then faith. That's why you are in church. And why, that's why you go, young people, to the catechism classes. Knowledge. Knowledge is important. And then, again, you should ask the Holy Spirit, and the parents should pray for that too, and the elders and deacons, those who are in leadership, to pray that the Lord will apply the knowledge, to sanctify the knowledge. That is how God saves his people. Secondly, when you are once caught by the word, by the net of the word, you never will lose it. Once caught, because all those fish, the 153 who were caught in the net, were brought to the shore. So the word, when you are once caught by the word of God, applied by the Holy Spirit to your soul, then you never will lose salvation. What he begins, he will bring it to a good end, through the word. The work of evangelism goes on until the last elect is caught by the net, by the word. God uses the church, people, church, and the word. The boat is the church. The fishermen are the office bearers. And the net is the word. So the church carries the word of God. The church does not save people. That's Roman Catholicism. So if you believe in the church, what the church tells you, the church instructs you, if you believe that you are saved. That's nonsense. The word does the work. So when the devil tried, as the devil is working every day and every Lord's day to keep the word away from the church, the preaching of the true word away from the God. And if he is successful in this way, then the church belongs to him. Thirdly, we learn that the disciples, when they go out to do the work as an apostle, as a sent one, teaching, preaching, baptizing the world, they have to do it. They can only do it in dependence on Christ and trusting him, not going on their own. Without me you can do nothing, and with me you can do all things, depending upon him. And thirdly, what did they preach? They preached Christ. They were sent out as witnesses. They witnessed the truth which is in Jesus Christ. Witnesses of Christ. We mentioned the text already, this, the Sanhedrin, that they have been with Jesus. And therefore we like to close this evening, this sermon, with these words. If you go into the world, because we spoke about the apostles, we spoke about office bearers, but all you have an office. The office of all believers. Can these people see? Are you a witness tomorrow? And not only by speaking or preaching, but are you a witness tomorrow when you are on the work floor? Can these people see? Can the people notice that you have been with Christ today? That's why we have a worship service. To worship Him, being with Him. Again, that does not mean that you have to speak. Maybe you have not an opportunity to speak one story, and then we close. I get some friends in Holland and a mother, yeah, we had a birthday party, and you know, I feel so guilty because I didn't speak. And my brothers and sisters, they are unbelievers, and you know, I feel so guilty that I kept my mouth shut. And another friend, we have some friends in Holland. Every Monday morning we share what we experienced on the Lord's Day, listen to the sermons, they in the Netherlands, and I'm here today. So we share that with one another, and to the other one he said, okay, but also she said, I felt guilty too, but the Lord spoke to me about of what we read in Galatians chapter 5, about the fruits of the Spirit, love, compassion. You know, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I think Galatians 5. So that's also to be a witness. You don't need to open your mouth. But that the fruits of the Spirit may be manifested. That people know enough. You know enough. So, and that's why, you know, living by faith, tomorrow morning, living by faith, what you have heard today, you know, Lord, help me, help me, help me. May I be a witness, may I be a witness for the extension of thy kingdom and for the honor and glory of his great name. Because that's the final, eh? That's the ultimate goal. To glorify God. May God bless the preaching of the word among you. Amen. Gracious Lord, we come again before Thee. O Lord, our hearts are filled with love, brought low because we heard Thy word. Lord, we felt Thy presence, and now sometimes we feel it is hard to leave this place and to go again into the world. But we know, according to Thy promise, that Thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, what has been given to us, it will be there until eternity. And now we wait, O Lord, for the second time that we may feel Thy presence again. And in the meantime, we hope to live, and we will live by faith alone, maybe not experiencing Thy presence, but by faith. We have to live by faith, not by feelings. And therefore, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit, keep our faith alive, and increase our faith like the disciples once asked, Lord, increase our faith. They felt the feebleness of their faith. Oh Lord, we are totally independent. We cannot make anything ourselves. But Thou hast promised that Thou wilt do it. Thou art the giver of life, but also the maintainer of life. And therefore, Lord, we come unto Thee. And wilt Thou draw us into Thy presence, and that Thy Holy Spirit may dwell in us, and that we not have a life wherein the Holy Spirit will go away from us. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, O Lord, we pray, Lord, give us that we may live carefully. We pray in Jesus' name, remember this church, Lord, help them, bless them, guide them, teach them, especially the consistory. Help them in searching for a new pastor, Lord. Be merciful to them. In Jesus' name, amen.